Thank God. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. I told you last week I was nervous. Oh, I'm really nervous now. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the wonderful crowd we got on a Monday night full of snow and a million reasons not to be here. Amen. Thank God for that. Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter number 26. Pastor, thank you for having us back. I tried to tell him everything I could think of that would have him not have us back and at Mexican the other night, and he still wanted us. So I say praise God for that. I have greatly, greatly enjoyed our fellowship and enjoyed our time here with y'all. I left my water down there. I need that thing right there. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen. I just want to try to be a help to you tonight. And as we begin this extended meeting, amen, praise God. I have had the privilege of being a part of a few of them, not very many. And unfortunately, I can say this, Pastor, I've been a part of more that probably didn't need extended than did. But I'm glad we got some folks here tonight just looking for the real thing, amen. I'd rather have 60 people wanting the real thing than 600 just coming for entertainment tonight. And if you came to get entertained, you showed up to the wrong place, amen. Genesis 26, if you're there, if you don't mind, let's stand to our feet. We're going to begin reading at verse number 13. I'm just going to give you a quick thought, and then we'll go shovel our way to the house, amen. Genesis 26, an interesting chapter in your Bible. The previous 14 chapters are about a man by the name of Abraham. The next 13 chapters tell about a man by the name of Jacob, and the son of a miracle, Isaac, gets one whole chapter to his name. But you find everything you need to know about this fellow in just a few verses. Verse 13 says, "And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again wells of water, and which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not, he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. I want to try to preach on this thought with the Lord's help tonight. Don't stop digging. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the sweet spirit we've already felt here, God, the testimonies that have been given. Lord, I pray. I know there are heavy hearts here tonight, and God, I know that there is many stressful situations going on around us. But God, I pray now for just a few moments, God, that you would just clear our minds and our hearts and help us, God, not to hear from me tonight, but just simply from your word, God. Lord, I pray that you touch every family that's here and every family that's not here, God. You know the reasons why, God, I pray you'd bring them back tomorrow night if it be your will. God, if there's somebody here tonight struggling, God, maybe they're not as close to you as they ought to be. God, I pray you'd begin right now convicting that heart, God, and scooting scoot them just a little bit closer. Lord, if there is somebody lost tonight, God, save them. God, I know it's revival. We're not looking for salvation tonight specifically, but God, any night's a good night to get saved. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd revive your church and save that sinner nearest hell. And God, we'd be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to try to preach and encourage you tonight on the simple thought of don't stop digging. Amen. I got a study Bible here, just an old Schofield Bible, and it says over top of this passage, it says, Isaac the well digger. I think, Brother Phil, that's a pretty good testimony that a man could have, and I believe that'd be a good testimony for some of us tonight to try to strive for. But let me give you just a couple thoughts by way of introduction that I've been pondering on when it comes to the thought of us being well diggers tonight. Every single day there are people that are walking out on the Lord, and in churches, in homes, and wherever you may look, there are pastors, there are preachers, there are deacons, there are Sunday school teachers, there are moms, there are dads that are laying down their shovel and giving up tonight. I Googled some statistics. I love ChatGPT, amen. It'll tell you anything you want to know. I found this on the internet today. A pastor resigns from his pulpit every 3 days. Every 3 days there is a man of God, hopefully that has been called by God to preach the gospel, who is walking away from the pulpit for the final time, throwing in the towel and giving up. A Sunday school teacher gives up every 12 to 18 months. A Sunday school teacher that are taking our babies in the back and laboring in word and deed and sharing the gospel with them. Somebody that we are trusting that they are carefully laboring to give them the gospel that their soul very much needs. 40% of church folk, 40% of individuals that will come to a church for the first time will give up going after 3 months. In 3 months, they will give up and not go back. Every once in a while, they'll go try to find another one, but majority of the time, statistics showed 40% of people that walk into a church will turn around 3 months later and never come back. And this was the alarming one. I know we're small tonight, but that's the interesting thing about statistics, Brother John. It really don't matter how many people you got, it runs the same. Look around you tonight. Studies show that a third of the individuals in this room tonight will not be here in 2 to 3 years. They will have given up, laid down their cross, and walked somewhere else. And I began, as I was looking at this thought on don't stop digging, I began to ponder, why would somebody lay down their shovel and walk away from God? And these are what I could just come up with. I want to give them to you very quickly. Number one, they do it because it's easy. It's easy to give up tonight. Brother Rob, it's easy to just give up and quit and go do something else. I've explained pastoring like this, but Pastor, this is the best way I explain it. I worked on the river for 7 years. We worked 84-hour weeks. We worked 6 hours on, 6 hours off, and you never got enough work to do anything, but you definitely never got enough sleep. And there were times, Brother Charlie, where I had a whole lot more energy then than I do now pastoring. It ain't easy. That ain't just, that's a pastor, but what about being a mom that's trying to raise them babies, tell them about the Lord, cook them supper, breakfast, lunch every single day, trying to teach them right for wrong, trying to keep their sanity, amen, trying to spend time with their husband so their love don't grow cold? What about a husband that's working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, also trying to keep his wife happy and trying to spend time with his children and play catch and go to the ball field and go to the park with them? All the while, you got a devil trying to mess you up and tear you down. It's easy tonight to quit. Do you find it interesting that the way our Savior compares Christian service, he compares it to fields like shepherding and agriculture and fishing? Those are not easy things. I'm not talking about taking your Zebco down to the pond, amen. I'm talking about if your life depended on you coming home with a haul of fish tonight. It's interesting that that's how Jesus compares Christian service. He don't compare it to just going down to the library and reading a book. He don't compare it to just going for a walk on a sunny day. He compares it to difficult, dirty, hard jobs tonight. It's easy. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Don't quit digging. Maybe I wonder if it's because folks don't enjoy it anymore. Have you lost your joy tonight? I find it hard to believe with a crowd our size. I know we're small tonight, but that's all right. I find it hard to believe still with this number tonight that every single person in here is coming in humming a victory in Jesus and everything's going right for them. How's your joy tonight? I'm reminded of what the sweet psalmist of Israel said when he cried out, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." If David can get in the gutter, I know I can tonight. John said, "These things write we unto you that your joy may be full." How full is your joy tonight? Is your joy full, or is it like my wife's car out there where the check engine light's on or the gas light's on and we got to go stop and get some gas before we get home or we won't make it home, Brother Charlie? Folks quit because it's easy, because they don't enjoy it. Maybe they quit because they're not as effective as they used to be. It's a fact of life. Every one of us will get to the point where we cannot do what we used to do. We can't go like we used to go. I'm 34 years old, and it's starting to catch up to me, amen. Brother Dean back there, he's in his 70s. He's still mowing yards and doing all kinds of stuff, but he'll tell you every day he can't do what he used to do. But I love the song Brother Dean sings. We sing that song all the time in our choir, little as much when God is in it. That line says, "Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in that battle in the sacred place of prayer." Oh, there's always something for us to do. You can be an effective prayer warrior. We need more prayer warriors than anything else in the world right now. Maybe, let me get real with you, maybe people are quitting because they're not being encouraged. I'm not the best encourager tonight. I'll go ahead and tell you that, but I don't want to be a stumbling block for anybody either. Paul said this. He said, "We're to edify one another." He said, "We're to bear one another's burdens." But let's just be really real tonight. How many times, Brother Jason, have you heard this statement? "I don't go to that church no more because the pastor never checked on me. I don't go up there no more because when I missed, they didn't call." Now listen, I'm not taking one side of that. I'm just trying to be real with you. How many times, if you've been in church long enough, you've heard someone say, "Well, that pastor didn't call me. Well, that deacon didn't come visit me. Well, Brother Philip didn't check on me. Brother John didn't give me a call." Your church loves you tonight. Your pastor loves you tonight. Can I say this in love? If that's your mentality right now tonight, I mean this. You're looking for encouragement in the wrong place. Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me. Tychus is in Ephesus. Alexander did me much evil. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." But the fact is, we are to be encouragers tonight. But I began to ponder on this, Brother Caleb, and I'm convinced that the biggest reason that folks are quitting every single day, not because it's easy, not because they don't enjoy it, not because it's effective, not because they're not effective, not because they're not being encouraged, I'm convinced that the biggest reason people are laying down their spiritual shovel and they quit digging is because of this. Everyone else is. Everyone else is. I'm reminded of what the great apostle Peter said. Now, we love to knock Peter because what his association with Catholicism, but we're more like Peter than we are Paul tonight. Yeah. Peter said, "I go a fishing." You understand, Peter didn't go alone tonight. He took some folks with him. Everyone else is doing it. I'm convinced tonight that the biggest reason so many people are falling by the wayside is as they're digging, they're looking around, they're looking over here, and that person's laid their shovel down, and that person's laid their shovel down, and everybody else is quitting. I'm here tonight to encourage you, Brother Charlie. Don't stop digging. Pastor, don't stop digging. Sunday school teacher, don't stop digging. Bus worker, don't stop digging. Nursery worker, don't stop digging. Toilet bowl scrubber, don't stop digging tonight. Don't stop. Don't care what everyone else is doing. In a world where everybody is quitting every little time, every single little bump in the road, and every single storm, every single trial, would to God tonight that some folks at Liberty Baptist Church would stand up and purpose in their heart that it does not matter what the devil does, and it does not matter what he or she does. It does not matter. I'm going to keep digging tonight. No matter what our enemy does, I'm going to dig. I want to preach on this thought. Don't stop digging. Let me give you five things real quickly. I want you to understand about digging tonight. Number one, I want you to understand the privilege in digging. Look at verse 17, 18 with me. It says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. I love those Old Testament. I don't have as many books as your pastor, but I got a few books. But I'm going to have your wife talk to my wife, because I'm to the point now, if I want a new one, I got to sell an old one. But I've read some stories about the Great Awakening that our nation went through as we were being birthed as a country. I've read about the revival over in the Hebrides, and I've read about the great, great Welsh revival in some of these meetings. But man, I love hearing about some of these old country revivals that took place close to home that you and I may have memories of or thoughts of. I love a good old-fashioned tent meeting, amen. It's a tent meeting that my wife met the Savior in 2016, amen. It was mowing the grass for a tent meeting, Brother Philip, on an old John Deere tractor that the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart and said, boy, I want you to preach the gospel. I stopped that mower and got off to the side, and I laid down in that grass and said, God, if that's what you want to do, I'll do it. I want you to understand the privilege that you and I have tonight. We are here off an heritage that some older folks have laid and they've dug, and now it's our turn and another generation to pick up that shovel and say, I will dig. It's a privilege tonight to dig for God. It's a privilege. Look what it says. It says his father's wells. Thank God for that meeting y'all were talking about in 97. Thank God for some of these old meetings. But man, I want to see one now. As much as we want, Brother Charlie, we'll never get 1997 back. I'd have been 5 years old when that meeting happened, just in case y'all were wondering. But I am here to tell you tonight that the same God that was sitting on the throne in 1997 is the same God sitting on the throne on November 10th, 2025 or 11th, whatever today is. He's still the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Over in the book of Malachi, he said, for you sons of Jacob are not consumed because I change not tonight. Amen. The privilege in digging. Can I ask you something tonight? Have we really come so far that we have forgotten that we are simply stewards of the things of God? You Google that word stewards, you look that up in your Bible, the first mention of that word stewards is when Abraham is talking about the stewards of his great house. And that's a picture of you and I tonight. Picture of the Father's house and all that he has, and some humble stewards that have been asked to take care of it tonight. Everything we have don't belong to us. Have we really gotten to the point in serving God that it no longer excites us? Have we gotten to the point that we've become so complacent with the things of God, we no longer acknowledge how great of a privilege it is to have what we have tonight? This church, this pastor, that spouse you have, that job you have, the house you live in, that car you drive, those children you have, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Don't stop digging tonight, because it is a privilege for us to be here on a Monday night. We all ought to be in hell with our back broke, but God's so good to us, he said, I'll let you go on down to Liberty and worship me for just a little while. It's a privilege. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I love that word reasonable tonight. Basically what Paul's saying, it's the least you could do. Paul said that's the least. Giving our body and our life totally to him is the very least we can do in exchange for the privilege he's afforded us tonight to be saved. It's a privilege to dig. It's a privilege. God gave you everything I had. Gave you everything you got. Least we can do is give all that we got willingly. Willingly now, not begrudgingly. I ain't talking about money tonight. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. I'm talking about everything we got willingly. Did you come here tonight willingly, or did you come here because someone drug you here? I'm talking about joyfully. Joyfully. Joyfully tonight. What about humbly? There's a privilege in digging. Number two, the purpose in digging. Go back up, verse number 15. Look at this verse with me. Abraham had dug all these wells. But look at verse number 15. And for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. They'd been stopped up. They'd been filled with the things of this world and the distractions and the dirt and the filthiness and all that goes on. Those precious wells, your Bible says, were filled with filth. This ain't part of my message, but how's your well tonight? Is it dirty? You know, it's hard to drink out of a dirty well. It's hard to draw and get anything good out of a dirty well. But you know what you can get out of a dirty well? Some diseases. Get some nasty things. The purpose in digging. They were dirty and they could not be used. I know it's cliche tonight, but this ought to make a Baptist shout. God has a purpose for every single one of us tonight. God being as big as He is and as amazing as He is. We had a Sunday school lesson yesterday morning all about the purpose that Jesus has for you and I. Y'all don't have pews like what we got, but I tell them all the time, Pastor, those things are bolted to the floor and I promise you they do not need you to hold them down. Amen. God saved you for something far more than sitting in a church and just sitting there like a bump on a log. God saved you for a purpose tonight. God saved you because He wants to use you tonight. Maybe you can't preach or maybe you can't sing, but you can do something, and God has given you a gift or a talent or something special, a touch from on high, and what God wants you to do tonight is use it. The purpose. I sit and think about this. Isaac, the well digger, his daddy dug some wells and his daddy taught Isaac how to dig some wells. You say, what's my purpose tonight, preacher? I ain't the Holy Ghost. I'm against that. God told me to tell you stuff tonight. Unless it's to take us out to dinner, then God did tell me to tell you to take us out to dinner. But, well, you say, preacher, what's my purpose tonight? Well, I find this interesting. Abraham dug many wells. Isaac dug many wells because he watched his daddy do some wells. There's a whole message in that right there. Mom and daddy, keep digging. Dug those wells. Then Isaac had a little ornery boy named Jacob. And he decided, well, Grandpappy dug some wells, and Daddy dug some wells. I might as well dig some wells, Brother Philip. I guarantee you, when y'all get to heaven, go ask that little Samaritan girl that went by Jacob's well one day, and the Lord met her and said, I know all about you, but let me tell you about me. And the Bible says this about her in John chapter number 4. She ran out of that well from Jacob's well, and she went into town and said, let me tell you about a man who knew all that I ever did, and he still loved me anyway. You say, what was his purpose? To dig that well. That way, somewhere down the future, somebody'd come by and get saved. Yeah. You got a purpose tonight. Keep on digging. Why? We got some babies in here. I love a screaming baby. Amen. I love a screaming baby. I don't know about a five-year-old, though, but I love a screaming baby. Six, I'm sorry, Penny. She's six now. We want to see these babies get saved. We want to see them call upon the Lord early as can be, too. And watch God. I would love for God to call some preachers and some missionaries up out of this church. We got to keep digging. There's a purpose in it. There's a purpose in it. I like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I thank Christ our Lord who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy. Brother Rob, right there. I obtained mercy because I did it in unbelief. Yeah. Listen, it blows my little finite mind, DJ, that God would take some Calhoun boy and use me to do something like I'm doing tonight. I promise you, you can ask my wife, I went home and cried Thursday, I think it was Thursday night, maybe it was Wednesday night, whenever Pastor came and he said, we're thinking about extending the meeting. I thought he was joking about the first three or four times he told me. But then I realized he wasn't laughing and he just kept on being serious. I went home and I cried and I sat and thought, why would God use me to do something like this? Why would God take a little country boy from out Beach Road in Calhoun County, West Virginia and save me and clean me up and take my wife and save her and give her an ability to sit on a piano and play that piano, sing like she does, and call me to preach and put me in a little church down the road where I can preach the gospel where folks are getting help and folks are getting saved. I don't know why God is doing it, but Brother Rob, I'm sure glad he's doing it with me. I'm sure glad God would use me. You understand, God don't need us, but he'll use us tonight. There's a purpose in digging, Mom and Daddy. Listen to me, if you don't dig, can I be very real? I love y'all tonight. I trust y'all tonight. I'll leave my kids with you tonight. Just ask me if you want to take them home with you. I'll let you. But Miss Lou Jean, I'm not counting on y'all to dig for my babies. I'm not counting y'all to dig for my family. I got to dig for my family. Mom and Daddy, you got to dig for them babies. You got to dig for that marriage. Listen to me, Liberty Baptist Church. You got to dig. You want to see God do something. It ain't going to come from us. No, I got a state road worker in my church so I can make this joke. It ain't going to come from us leaning on that shovel tonight. We got to dig. He got called out tonight because of the snow. Grandma, Grandpa, if you don't do it, who's going to do it? If you don't sing that song, who's going to sing it? You say, well, I can't sing. Well, the Bible says make a joyful noise. If you're not going to give those words of encouragement, who's going to do it? If you're not going to be here and sit in that seat, who's going to do it? If you're not going to walk up that pastor after every service when he preaches his heart out and say, Pastor, that helped me, Lord, used you, who's going to do it? That's Bible, all right? You can encourage somebody. I remember Brother Jason was teaching Sunday school. Brother Jason's our Sunday school teacher, adult Sunday school. And he was going through legends in our Bible. He was giving us lessons from every legend we could learn. And he got to the book of Esther and he began talking about that sweet lady. And he began to talk about where Mordecai looks at her and says, in a sense, he says, Esther, if you don't do it, enlargement and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will be destroyed. Oh, God can do it. Anytime, anywhere, but if God's willing to use us tonight, what if God wants to send our community revival? I believe he can send our community revival, but what if he wants to do it right now? What if he wants to do it with this church right now? We got to dig. There's a purpose in digging. Don't stop digging. Number three, I want to give you this. We got to hurry. The peril in digging. Look at verse number 19. Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. I like that. I was reading one commentator that said, if you dig deep enough, you'll find some water springing up out of there. The herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, the water is ours. You know the devil's a liar tonight.
Yeah.
That wasn't their water. The water's ours. And he called the name of the well Essek because they strove with him. He digged another well. You understand, you try to do something, the devil's going to stop you. You understand, you go try to do something else, he's going to go stop you over there too. If you let him tonight. He called the name of that well Essek because they strove. And 21, they digged another well and strove for that also. There's peril tonight in digging. We covered this Friday night just as loudly as I'm telling you, don't stop digging. The devil's doing everything he can to get you to quit. I'm not going to beat this horse to death tonight, but you understand the devil was hoping and praying and doing everything he could. We wouldn't show up on Monday night. He is the prince and power of the air, and I don't believe by any stretch of the imagination he gave us 28 degrees in snow when Wednesday night we're going to have 65 and sunny weather. Amen. The Philistines are a type of our adversary in your Bible. They pestered Israel relentlessly. From Abraham's day all the way to David's day, they were there to be a thorn in their side. Now, this might not help you, but I had an old preacher tell me this, and it changed my outlook on everything. He said, if you're digging and the devil ain't fighting, might be because you're digging in the wrong place. I'll run that by you one more time. If you're digging and the devil ain't fighting, it might be because you're digging in the wrong place tonight. You understand, if you start doing something for God, the devil's going to take notice. But if you're not doing, if you're doing it for yourself or doing it for fleshly reasons or prideful reasons or just whatever it is, if it ain't God, devil ain't going to get involved because he don't give a rip about it. If we're not doing something for God, why would he waste his time with us tonight? The peril in digging. I'm sorry, listen, I'm sorry some apostate preacher lied to you and told you you get saved and live for God, everything will be cupcakes and rainbows. It's not going to be. I've only been saved 8 years, but I promise you I've gone through more since I got saved than I did when I was lost. I know sometimes we'll say why. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking why if you're willing to move on once God gives you the answer tonight. But there's a peril in digging. There's a danger in doing what we're doing. The more the devil sees you wanting to raise them babies up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the more the devil sees you wanting to be there Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, the more the devil sees you wanting to testify and sees you honing those skills. I do believe in making a joyful noise, but the Bible also says sing skillfully and play skillfully, amen. The more the devil sees you trying to use your talents for the Lord, he's going to take notice. He's going to try to mess it up. There's a peril in digging. I'm reminded about what our Savior said over in the book of Luke when he was talking to his disciples and he was testing their faithfulness. He said these words. He said, any man with his hand to the plow looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I found there was something we said all the time outside of complacency when I worked on the river. It was always look where you step and step where you look. If we're digging right here, what are we doing? Looking over here on the left hand, looking on the right hand. It's the distractions of the devil tonight. There's a peril in digging. But there is an important lesson I want you to take note of. Notice where they lied in verse number 20. It said, the water is ours. That's what the devil will do. The devil will tell you them children are mine. You're mine. Don't listen to the devil tonight, amen. Right. If you're saved tonight, he can mess with you. But it's all going to go across God's desk. God's in control. Just like old Job, I would not want to for anything that Job went through tonight. But I'm sure I'm glad the whole time, Brother Jason, God was still in control in Job's life. There's peril in digging. But I want to move on to number four. Look at verse 22. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for they strove not. He called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in that land. Sometimes you just got to keep on digging. If God blessed us on every single time we dug the first well, we'd never dig that second well. If God blessed us every single time we just showed up and done one little thing, we'd never put another. The Bible talks about being a two-mile Christian, amen. I want to be a two-mile Christian tonight. If God blesses on that first mile, why would we ever go a second mile? You see, there's peril in digging. There's a purpose. There's a privilege. Number four, there's a promise in digging. See, the Lord hath made room for us. We shall be fruitful in land. Look at verse 23. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Look at this, verse 24. And the Lord appeared unto him that same night. Said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Aren't you glad your blessings ain't on account of you anyhow tonight? But there's a promise in digging. Can I put this on the bottom shelf for you tonight? Digging is not easy. It takes a lot out of you. Sometimes you got to do it like old Nehemiah did. He had to get a tool in one hand, a sword in the other. He had to work and he had to fight. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes you got to do it in the dark nights. Sometimes you got to do it in the inclement weather. Sometimes you got to do it when the hardships are coming. You still go to work, amen, when things are going on at the house. You still go to the ball game when things are going on at the house. Why is it when something's going on, we don't come to the house of God? Why is it we lay out when something's going on, but we'll still go to work? We'll still go to the lake. We'll still do this. We'll still do that. I'm here to tell you, sometimes we got to dig in those dark valleys. Sometimes we got to dig in the rainy weather, but I'm here to tell you tonight, you'll never dig alone, Christian. You'll never dig alone. Why do we keep on keeping on? Well, we're commanded to. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. That's the command we got tonight, but praise God, that ain't where the verse ends. If the verse ended there, that'd be all right, amen. But it didn't. It kept on going. Listen to me now. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There hath no temptation as such is common to man, but God is faithful. Keep digging tonight. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Keep digging tonight. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to the called according to their purpose. Keep digging tonight. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Don't stop digging tonight. His grace is sufficient. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Don't stop digging. It'll seem lonely sometimes. But I found maybe you're looking in the wrong spot. I like what David said. I like David. He had his ups and downs. And that psalmist said these words. He said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? He said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there. Aren't you glad we got a God that'll not only indwell us, but he'll go with us wherever we go. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because he knew the Lord was walking right beside him. Somebody here tonight might be walking through that valley of the shadow of death. Somebody might be standing on the mountaintop overlooking that valley of the shadow of death, and you know you're about to walk through that. I'm glad I'm not going to walk it alone tonight. What a promise we have tonight. I've made many promises to my children, and I've broken them. I've made many promises to my wife, and I've broken them. I'm glad tonight that there's never been a promise that the Lord didn't keep with me tonight. Keep on digging, church. You see, there's a peril in it. There's a purpose. There's a privilege in it. There's one more thing I want you to notice in verse 25, though. There's a prize in digging. I love verse 25. I don't know about you, but I got saved at an altar. I love an altar. I think I told you this, but I'll tell you it again just because it's that good. I had a preacher tell me one time, there's only two times you go to an altar: when you want to and when you don't want to. Verse 25, and he built an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Lord. I wonder, remember, this is the only chapter Isaac has to his name. Now, I got a vivid imagination, but I wonder if verse 25 right here is when God moved from being Abraham's God to being Isaac's God. He made it real for himself tonight. Built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and Isaac's servants digged a well. Then, verse 26, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuza, one of his friends, and Pichol, the chief of the captains of the army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye, seeing you hate me, and you have sent me away? I like this. Look at verse 28. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. There's a prize in digging. After all that digging, listen, this is mud puddle deep tonight, but it ought to help somebody. After all that digging, the Lord showed up. Church, we've come this far. What a shame it would be for us to lay down our shovel on a Monday night. On a Monday night, lay down our shovel, not knowing what God's going to do tomorrow. I don't believe in extending anything that don't need to be extended. I know I get emotional, but I am not an emotionalist tonight. I get emotional off the facts. My feelings are based upon my faith that I've put in the facts of the Word of God tonight. But let me tell you a story. The Lord's wanted me to tell it all last week, and I didn't. I guess He extended it so I could tell you this story. When I got saved, I had done everything backwards. I told y'all, I'm not being harsh. My wife grew up in a works doctrine. Her wafer and her grape juice kept her in heaven, or whatever, weighed the balance. When we got into church, all we knew, Brother Charlie, was to serve. The more you served, the closer you got to God. My wife got saved in 2016. In a tent meeting. And it scared me plumb to death because I thought we were all right. Who was that? Was you said all right, wasn't it? Well, see, I was still all right, but she got right. And you know what the Holy Ghost did to her heart when she got saved that night, brother? She said, your husband is as lost as you were. And from June 4th, 2016 till February 18th, 2017, that woman prayed and fasted and begged God. Listen to me very carefully. I can remember nights I'd be laying in that bed in a condition that I probably shouldn't have been in. And she'd be laying on that floor begging God, save my husband. Don't let my husband, I love him, God, you gave him to me. You saved me. You can save him. Do it, God. I can't tell you how many nights I'd lay in that bed and I'd get mad. Just shut up, woman, and come to bed. But on her face, in our little 810 square foot house, she'd bow down. I'm not talking about God on her knees. She'd lay flat on her face and say, God, don't let my husband go to hell. I sure am glad she didn't quit digging. Amen. Honey, why don't you go to church with us Saturday morning? There's going to be a youth rally down in Gethsemane Baptist Church. Why don't you go with us? I don't want to go to that. I don't want to go I don't want to go 10 minutes to go to church. I don't want to go 3 hours to go to church. And this is how it worked. You can believe it or not. I don't really care. I went to that church. I'd been battling conviction since June of the previous year. I'm talking about conviction that would make you sick. We went to that service and the preacher preached, and I was sitting about right back where Caleb's sitting right now, Brother Caleb back there. That's where I was sitting. And we went through that service. I'm talking about, I want you to understand what it means to extend a meeting. And I sat back there and he preached and the invitation was given and there was multiple people that came up and got saved. God was convicted my heart and I knew I was lost. Listen, I had done enough conversating with God. I had convinced myself he wouldn't let me, he'll let me slip in. He will make a way for me to go a different way. It don't work like that tonight, church. Preacher gave the invitation, a bunch of people came, got saved. It was a great time. And I remember sitting there and the conviction for the first time in my life was completely gone. And I remember sitting right back about where Caleb's sitting. I went to stand up and I didn't even have enough strength to stand up. And I'd heard preachers talk about God only has to give you one time. He'll shake his feet off and go on to the next person. And I tried to stand up, and I remember I had a tie on. I had a nice little suit, and I had a nice little tie, and I was playing the part. And I was a Sunday school teacher, and I was a bus driver. And I knew how to play the games, and I was choking with my tie. I was trying to get that thing off, and I couldn't even stand up. And I remember my wife looking at me and saying, "What's wrong with you?" And in my mind, I thought, "Oh, my God, I'm going to hell. I messed up." I began to sit there and say, "God, if you'll give me one more chance, if you'll give me one more chance, I'll go." And I promise you, I don't care if you believe this or not, that preacher turned around and he said, "I feel like there's somebody here tonight that's praying, God, you give me one more chance and I'll come get saved." I shoved my wife out of the way and I ran and I Billy Sunday style slid right into that altar, and on the left side of that altar, listen to me, these are the only words I could conjure up. I didn't pray no sinner's prayer. I didn't say nothing fancy, but I said, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And on a Saturday afternoon, all of hell moved out and all of heaven moved in. And I'm here tonight to tell you, my wife kept digging and I'd have gone to hell had she not. Amen. Keep digging tonight. There's a prize in it. As we stand to our feet and John comes, don't quit preaching. Don't quit singing. Don't quit serving. Don't quit witnessing. Don't quit praying. Do not quit tonight. I want to read you something. D.L. Moody said these words. He said, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do." Why don't you come tonight? Maybe you've laid your shovel down and pick that thing back up and say, "God, not tomorrow, not when I get home, right now, I'm going to start digging again." Maybe you're thinking about laying that shovel down. Why don't you come and get some more strength and say, "God, I ain't laying it down. I've got too much to dig for." Maybe you're lost tonight. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Why don't you come and get saved? We'd love to take a Bible and share with you how Jesus died according to the Scriptures for our sins and was buried and risen again the third day according to the Scriptures. We'd love to deal with you tonight about that. But as they're singing, maybe you'd slip out of your pew. Come, grab hold of that shovel, start digging again.